Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Welcome to Sunday Night Live.
What she said. I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. Have you ever had someone say, I've been thinking about you?
I have been thinking about you.
Just saying. You like to assume the thoughts are good, and if you're thinking about me, I know they're good.
There you go.
But if somebody says that, you really have no idea what they're thinking about you. And in fact, that has been at times by some people, never by me, a pickup line where some guy says to a woman, I've been thinking about you. In fact, in meetings I used to tell and ask how many women were single. And I'd say, look, if a man walks up to you and says, I've been thinking about you all day. You've been running through my mind. I said, you need to say, that's nice, but do you have a job? Do you have a 3-year plan, a 5-year plan? And if he can't answer yes to those questions, then look at him in the rearview mirror and leave him alone.
That's it.
On a spiritual level, God does. I don't know why I said doesn't. God does bring people to our minds.
Yes, he does.
Sometimes he'll even wake you up during the night to pray for people. Mm. And you're going, Lord, couldn't I pray for him in the morning? But
Harold,
no, he woke you up to pray right then.
That's it.
And and you need to understand that if you're praying for him right then, there's probably a reason. And it could be the enemy's trying to attack them, their health that night, or
some of your children.
There's something going on.
Amen.
And some reason God woke you up with that person on your mind.
And an easy way, excuse me, to pray with something like that, this is what I always say. What if it was my spouse being asked to be prayed for? What if it was my daughter, my son, you know, my parents? So that's the way we need to pray for people when we think somebody's asking you to pray. What if this was mine, you know, being asked to be prayed for? Helps you pray a lot more sincerely. Anyway, 1 Peter 5, verse 7 in the Living Bible says, let him have all your worries and cares, for he is always thinking about you and watching everything that concerns you.
I love it.
I do too.
He is always thinking about you. Mm. He's not just thinking about you when you're in church. He's not just thinking about you when you're, riding in the car. I mean, it says always. He's always thinking about you.
And if you think about it this way, I'm an editor, so it's like when you learn about grammar and it says never use the word always because there's always an exception. But
not
with God. Think of that. Not with God. So that is a
not only that,
thought.
He says he's always watching everything that concerns you.
Amen.
Everything that concerns you. Can somebody say
hallelujah?
That's something, if we just stopped right here and we took time to embrace that scripture and that thought, it would be literally life-changing.
But we have so many more.
We do. But watching everything that concerns you, not the most important things, not what you're dealing with, everything.
Everything.
That concerns you.
Hallelujah.
That's a whole lot of love.
That is a whole lot of love. One of our favorite scriptures is in Psalm 40, verse 17. This is in the Living Bible. It says, I am poor and weak, yet the Lord is thinking about me right now.
In fact, I'd encourage you to underline that last part. Yet the Lord is thinking about me right now.
That's
you can even personalize
awesome.
It. The Lord is thinking about Dave
right now.
The Lord's thinking about Norman right now. The Lord's thinking about Diane right now. Lord's thinking about Joy right now. The Lord is thinking about you right now, at this very moment. And that's a...
And never stops.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know, this teaching is about each of us having the confidence, the blessing, the reward, the benefit of knowing that God is thinking about us at this very moment.
And the revelation you had is really where it was born. Back a long time ago, when you read Jeremiah 29:11. That's right.
That is the first scripture that ever really ignited in my spirit.
Now, I
will confess, and Mama, you may know this, but when I was a boy and going into Sunday school, we had to, everybody had to say a verse. Well, I always tried to be first because I knew a really good verse, easy to remember, called Jesus Wept.
Shortest verse in the Bible.
Shortest verse in the Bible, but I also knew John 3:16. But the first verse that really impacted me was Jeremiah 29:11. And I'd read it in the King James Bible, but I had just gotten a Thompson Chain Reference Bible. It was a New International. And I read it in that, and it just ignited in my... It is a verse that literally changed my destiny because of what that verse says.
That's right.
And allowed me to see it in a totally different way.
And that is the name of our teaching tonight.
It is.
A verse that changed his destiny. Jeremiah 29:11, excuse me, in the New International Version. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future.
That scripture is so powerful. There's not just seven keys to it. There's nine.
Wow.
I always do sevens, but there's nine. Nine in this one.
It's a rich one.
And number one, God is thinking about you.
Amen.
God is thinking about you. And on the outline, those of you watching around the world and those of you here, yeah, you know, it's a little bigger type, but you can just circle it. God is thinking about, mark out you and put me, or put your name, because he is. We just read those scriptures.
That's it.
Now, you're very blessed if you have parents who thought about you. You're blessed if your spouse, and I did, if your spouse and children think about you.
That'd be
and
nice.
I do. It's nice if your boss thinks about you. It's nice if your pastor thinks about you. And it's a joy knowing that you have friends who think about you, lift you up, and pray for you. But even if none of them were thinking about you, if nobody else thought about you, the best thing of all is a scriptural assurance that the master of the universe, the creator of heaven and earth, your God of peace, is thinking about you. If nobody else in the world is, he is.
Wow.
I remember one Thanksgiving some years back. We were praying for people on Thanksgiving Day. And I had them sitting in so I could do it. And I was calling people. We were calling people. And this lady sent me an email. And she said,
I
have nothing
that.
To be thankful for. Because nobody knows I'm alive. And I said to her, I called her. I said, let me ask you a question. I'm somebody. You wrote me, I called you. But more importantly than that, if you're born again,
Amen.
God knows you're alive.
Amen.
And he's thinking about you. But see, sometimes we can get into such a state that we don't think. What the enemy likes to do is to bring a fog in, and I don't mean favor of God, a literal mental fog to keep us from seeing really what the reality is. And the reality is that God is thinking about us. And I want to tell you, that's better than anybody else in the world thinking about you. And that's a fact.
That is a fact. It really, every time you tell that story, I always remember the one when you were calling partners.
Oh, yeah.
That was back when you, when we worked with Brother John Avanzini.
When we first went to work for him, I told him I wanted to call partners and pray with him. Nobody did it at that point. And the mail would come in, they put it in a basket, and I'd pull one out. And I pulled this lady out, and I called her. The phone rang a while. It took her a while. I was about to hang up. She answered the phone, and I told her who I was. And she started crying.
I mean, really crying.
I mean, boo-hoo, breakdown, crying. And I said, are you okay? She said, yes.
Eventually.
Go ahead.
Eventually.
Yeah. And so I said, I want to pray with you. I got your letter. And I prayed with her. She cried the whole time. And when I got through, she said, would you like to know why I was crying? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, when the phone started ringing, I was kneeling by my bed and I asked God if anybody knew I was alive. And the phone started ringing. That makes me emotional.
It does, because what was going to happen was she said, I decided that if he didn't answer me, I was going to commit suicide. And you know, you never know when God is just going to reach in there and use you to
help
somebody.
She got her life turned around and, you know, very productive, got a great job.
Ended up being okay.
Yep,
but sometimes people, you can get in a swirl that takes you downhill, and the enemy just loves it. In a hurt, I mean, it just swings you around.
And see,
but
we allow the intensity of the adversity that we're facing to cloud our perspective,
right?
To where we really can't see what we need to see.
That's it.
And what the Word says.
Yeah, didn't mean to get all carried away on that, but God loving us, that's right, thinking about us, is so awesome. It just defies description. I mean, He is so, the God of peace, and that's what we hold on to. That trumps anything else in the world, anybody else in the world thinking about you, really.
That's a good word.
Jeremiah 29:11 in the King James Version. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end.
You need to get this where you can remember tomorrow, the next day, and every day after that. God is thinking about you. And I love, though the NIV is what ignited in me.
There are some good thoughts in that King James.
There is.
Yeah.
I know the thoughts I think towards you. He's not just thinking about you. He's thinking thoughts
towards you. Sending them
but
to
we
you.
Have to be a willing receptacle to receive those thoughts that He's sending our way.
And it's a spiritual thing. We have to learn how to receive. I mean, we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. So it's a new dimension that we have to develop. Anyway, bottom line, hallelujah.
If you've ever felt
thinking,
or said.
There you go.
Yeah, nobody's thinking about you. Nobody knows you're alive. Nobody cares. Don't ever do it again.
That's right.
Because you're a Heavenly Father. Is thinking about you
right now.
And if anybody anywhere is thinking about me, I want it to be Him.
Amen.
I want it to be Him.
Amen. So quoting Psalm 40 verse 17 in the Living Bible, it says, I am poor and weak, yet the Lord is thinking about me right now.
How?
One more time on that one.
I know.
That's good. That's a good one. Then consider these words, honey, and all of y'all. 1 Corinthians 2:10, Message Bible. It says, the Spirit, not content to flit around on the surface, dives into the depths of God and brings out what God planned all along. Whoever knows what you're thinking and planning except you yourself? The same with God, except that He not only knows what He's thinking, but He lets us in on it. God offers a full report on the gifts of life and salvation that He is giving us. We don't have to rely on the world's guesses and opinions. We didn't learn this by reading books or going to school. We learned it from God, who taught us person to person through Jesus, and we're passing it on to you in the same firsthand personal way.
And the good news is that God will even let you in. Of what He's thinking.
I like that. Tell me what you're thinking, Lord.
Yeah. You don't have to wonder.
It's another hallelujah.
It's another hallelujah. It is. And if you've never read the book, Two Chairs, you need to read the book.
It's a good one.
In fact, somewhere in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to teach Two Chairs. But I'm going to probably do it during Rich Sauce for Breakfast.
I got more time.
And I can take however much time I want to do it. That was my favorite book in 2017. Read 40-some books. It's my favorite book. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Number two.
Yes.
God has plans for you. From the time you were born, it seems that people had plans for you. Your mom, how you dress. And my mom was not so much how I dressed, but if my hair was curly or... she even arranged for me to have a perm. When I was young,
oh, Lord.
I looked cute with curly hair. Your dad has plans on what you can do work-wise or what sports you'll be involved in.
That's it.
Your friends have plans on what games you're going to play. Your teachers have plans on what you're going to learn. Your spouse have plans on what your life's going to be like together. And your employer has plans on what you're going to do from the job. So, you know, that's, and I could go
on and on.
But throughout life, your lives, our lives, people have a lot of plans for us. And, but what you really want to find is the one person, the most important person, what their plans are for you. Because he has plans for you.
He does.
He has plans for you.
That's what he says.
And there are plans that we should want to discover.
Yes.
And to pursue, because it'll give us accomplishment, fulfillment, and peace on earth.
Amen.
While we're here.
Jeremiah 29:11. This in the Living Bible says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope."
Truth of the matter is, God had plans for you before you were ever born.
That's right.
You know, that scripture says, the next one we're going to read, Jeremiah 1:5, says that God knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb.
That's right.
So he knew you before you were born. I've had
Many conversations. With many people.
Many seminars. Mm-hmm. Where someone will come and says, "I appreciate everything you said, but, you know, my life is different because I was an illegitimate child." And I go, "No, you weren't." "Yes, I was." "No, you weren't." "What makes you think you knew more about me than I know about me?" "Well, I know that God knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb."
That's right.
So in God's eyes, you're legitimate. Your parents may not be, but you are. Because God knew who you were.
Because you would have never been born if he didn't want you here.
And he has a plan for you.
That's it.
And it's the ultimate plan.
Hallelujah. Jeremiah 1:5 in the Message Bible says, "Before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you. A prophet to the nations, that's what I had in mind for you." And believe me, if he did it for Jeremiah, he's not cutting the rest of us out of this either. He has a plan for each of our lives.
He didn't do it just for Jeremiah's life.
That's right.
He did it for everybody's life sitting here tonight.
It's a proof.
Or watching around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Or those who will see the replay of this. He did it for you. He's
because
got plans for you.
He makes no mistakes.
Every life that comes on planet Earth, God has, well, they were created with a purpose and a destiny.
That's it.
And God makes no mistakes. Now, how we move in that destiny, we're creatures of free will. And sometimes the choices we make put us on a track that we don't need to be on.
We have to make a U-turn. But
we have to make a U-turn. You like that?
I did. Oh, man.
I stopped real quick. Never mind.
That's it. I got that.
There are a number of scriptures which emphasize the point about God having plans for us.
Amen.
And truthfully, his plans or the ones that matter.
That's right. Matter the most. Proverbs 19:21 in the Classic Amplified Bible says, "Many plans are in a man's mind, but it is the Lord's purpose for him that will stand." I really like that, and I claim that a lot. That same scripture in the New Century Version says, "People can make all kinds of plans, but only the Lord's plan will happen." And then listen to the Message Bible translation.
Like the Message.
Boy, the Message just kind of hits it where the rubber meets the road. It says, "We humans keep brainstorming options and plans, but God's purpose prevails." If it's going to happen, if he wants it to happen, somewhere along the line, it's going to happen.
And not only does God have plans for us.
Yes.
But they're marvelous plans.
Yes.
Glorious plans.
I love it. I mean, it isn't like he's making us. I heard this illustration a long time ago. It's like, you know, sometimes people, when they first get saved, I don't want to get saved because then I got to do what God wants me to do, you know. And I said, that's like saying a parent says to you, "Okay, now I got you right where I want you, and you are eating that broccoli," you know. I'm like, you think he's going to, anyway, I mean, it makes you wonder what people think that God has plans for them. What's he's going to, now I'm going to, you know, squash you like a bug. I mean, God is a good God and a loving God. Anyway, I could get carried away. Psalm 40:5 in the Contemporary English Version says this: "You, Lord God, have done many wonderful things, and you have planned marvelous things for us. No one is like you. I would never be able to tell all you have done." That's how great he is.
So the question is, do you know that God has plans for your life? If he does, do you know what they are? And if you don't, he's ever ready to share them with you.
That's it.
But amen. You need to be in his presence to find them.
And be
that's
listening.
That's where it's at.
All right.
Number three, God is thinking thoughts of peace towards you.
Mm-hmm.
We live in perilous times where political and economic circumstances can change in an instant. It said in a tragic commentary that we live in an age where there's such a callous disregard, not only for human life, but for the character of people, where people lie about people. And I can't get there. I'm not going there.
There's just so, and it's really in every, I mean, we're blessed to live in this country where it gets a little crazy. But the point of it is it doesn't get as crazy as it is in some other countries. So, you know, you have to almost count your blessings and then pray for the rest.
And there have been other times in American history
that
have been this crazy.
History. Yeah.
For the people living in those times. But we don't recognize that.
Yeah.
But there have been times of great peril.
That's it.
And
all over the world, really.
But here's what we need to know.
Yeah.
In the midst of the turbulence, the adversity, we need to understand that Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace, is thinking about us. And he's
thoughts of peace.
And he's got plans for us.
That's it. The American Standard Version of Jeremiah 29:11 says it this way. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith Jehovah, thoughts of peace, hallelujah, and not of evil, to give you hope in your latter end.
Once again, it's interesting to note that he's not just thinking thoughts of peace toward people in general.
There you go.
But this scripture points out he's thinking thoughts of peace to each of us specifically.
Let me add in here, because we just, I don't remember where we saw this, but it was very good. I think it was from Pastor Clay. It said, you know, when you see the parable in the New Testament where Jesus left the 99 to go find the lost sheep, some people might say, well, you know, that was just one sheep and they had, what about the 99? But it would make a lot of difference if that one sheep was you. So think of what God does. He will leave the 99 to go find that one that's lost because he loves you that much. That is powerful.
It is powerful. Mm. Isaiah 26:3.
I like it. In the Classic Amplified Bible, you will guard him. This is how to keep our mind peaceful. You will guard him and keep him in perfect and constant peace, whose mind, both its inclination and its character, is stayed on you, because he commits himself to you, leans on you, and hopes confidently in you. And I often think of that scripture when something crazy goes on, and you go, okay, I wasn't expecting that, but I go, God was. And my inclination and my character has been toward God, so I'm going to go, it didn't catch you off guard. It may have caught me off guard, but it didn't catch you off guard. So I'm going to lean on you and let this
if you're feeling,
find our way out.
Distraught because of what you're facing.
Yes.
Then find scriptures like the ones we've got that speak to the peace of God.
Yes.
Passing all understanding. And focus not on the adversity, the problem you're facing, but on the peace of God. Getting you through whatever it is.
Amen.
Because that's the key.
From his perspective, not our little individual perspective. There's a scripture admonition in Philippians 4:9. And that leads us to peace. It says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. So it's really, in a sense, it's reading your Bible and doing what it says, right? Take that word and put it to action.
If you don't, Matthew 22:29 says, you err because you don't know
the scriptures
and the
or
power
the power
of
thereof. Amen. That is
power
good.
Of God. Number four, God has plans to prosper you. If you follow our Rich Thoughts for Breakfast calls in the morning or
blogs
been
or
to
books.
Our seminars or blogs or books or you know, anything that we do. You'll know that we frequently teach and preach about how God wants to prosper you.
Yes.
Jeremiah 29:11 in the New International Version, which we shared earlier, confirms that God wants to prosper you. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you. Plans to prosper you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future.
Hallelujah.
Now, it's not a matter of whether you're lucky or not.
That's it.
Like winning the lottery or the Monopoly $1 million game that they play. God has the plans to prosper each of us beyond the realm of lucky. He really does. My friend Clay sent me a meme, showed a picture of a Rolls Royce, and said, sometimes you need to wait because it takes 6 months to build one Rolls Royce and 13 days to build a Toyota.
So we have a lot of
It's a matter
Rolls
of finding your
making.
Peace in the middle of the storm.
Yes.
And confessing and holding on to and quoting the Word of God, because that's what gets you through.
Well, the point of it is the storm is really meant, is sent. We don't like facing this, but the storm is sent to see if we trust God. Because, you know, hanging on to what He says, knowing that He'll work it out.
God has plans to prosper you, whether you got the big raise or the big bonus.
Right.
Or the big, you know, anything.
That's it.
He has plans to prosper. See, it's not even whether you get a large inheritance from a rich relative. God has plans to prosper you. It's not whether or not your investment portfolio brings huge returns and dividends. God has plans to prosper you. It's not whether you find oil or gold under your land or gas. You know,
that could happen.
It did happen.
But God has plans to prosper us.
God has plans to
and
prosper us.
And the progression is in 3 John 2.
I love this.
It says, beloved, I wish above all things.
As a boy.
Good guy. 3 John 2 says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth.
So the bottom line,
that's right. Tell me.
God has plans to prosper us regardless of our circumstances. Regardless of where you're at right now, you may be so broke you can't pick up all the pieces.
There you go.
But you got to know God has plans to prosper you. You hold on to that. Why do you hold on to it? Because the Word says to.
Amen.
That's the key.
The
Word says to. And if you don't, you'll be in trouble.
In Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2, in the Classic Amplified, we like the Classic Amplified a lot. But this also is a progression because it says, blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable is the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, following their advice, their plans and purposes, nor stands, in other words, stops and stands, submissive and inactive in the path where sinners walk, nor sits down to relax and rest where the scornful and the mockers gather. But his delight and desire are in the law of the Lord, and on his law, the precepts, the instructions, the teachings of God, he habitually meditates, ponders, and studies by day and by night. So it's really taking the Word and applying it day by day. And as we do it, we are enriched day by day.
We are. Number 5, God is not thinking evil toward you. If someone is thinking about you 24/7, it would be comforting and reassuring to know they're thinking good thoughts about you, not evil thoughts. Well, in our study of the Scripture, it's clear that God is always thinking good thoughts about us.
I mean, and it says it again. This is Jeremiah 29:11 in the Classic Amplified Bible.
We
but
keep
it
repeating
says,
29:11 because we want you to get it deep inside of you.
Yeah, and it just gives you a little different perspective by the words that they pull out of the Hebrew. It says, and this is all the words really in. It says, for I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace. And then not only does he say that, honey, then he goes, and not for evil. So it's like he's clarifying, hey, not only is this good, but I don't want anything bad. And not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome.
You know, Your ex may be thinking evil towards you, but not God.
Hallelujah.
And I tell people frequently, stop complaining about your ex and start praising God for your next.
There you go.
The next one who's coming into your life.
Look in the rearview mirror. Psalm, I said, don't get your eyes off the rearview mirror. Psalm 56:5 in the Classic Amplified says, all day long they twist my words and trouble my affairs. All their thoughts are against me for evil and my hurt.
God is not thinking evil against us.
That's right.
Toward us. But he expects us to do our part to overcome every evil assault of the enemy.
That's it. In Psalm 25, verses 19 and 20, it says, consider my enemies, for they abound. They hate me with cruel hatred. Oh, keep me, Lord, and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed or disappointed, for my trust and my refuge are in you. And if we didn't have these adversities coming against us, we wouldn't know our trust and our refuge is in him, because it would then be proven that it is.
Number six. And this is all out of 29:11, these nine things. Number six, God will not abandon you. There are many people who've been abandoned in their lives.
That's right.
Spouses, children, even employers, employees have suffered abandonment. It's a deep hurt.
That's right.
To be abandoned. However, we have an assurance, a guarantee, that God will never abandon us.
Amen. And this is Jeremiah 29:11. Guess what? In the Message Bible, it says, I have it all planned out, plans to take care of you, not abandon you, plans to give you the future you hope for. That is lovely, a lovely thought, clinging to it. Psalm 27:10 in the Living Bible says, for if my father and mother should abandon me, you would welcome and comfort me. That was a David scripture.
Because there are people who were born into a dysfunctional family.
That's right.
And had difficult times with their parents.
And yet God delivered them.
Didn't have a role model.
There you go.
As a father and sometimes as a mother.
That's it.
But they have the role
model of the world.
He cares for them. They have God.
Amen. Deuteronomy 4:21. He sought them out and they found. Deuteronomy 4:21 in the New Living Translation says, for the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not abandon you or destroy you or forget the solemn covenant he made with your ancestors. And then Joshua 1:5, there's so many scriptures to back stuff up. This in the New Living Translation. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. For I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you.
The scriptures are clear. People are going to come and go in your life, God will never abandon you.
Hallelujah.
And you can take that
to the bank.
To the bank. Number seven, God's plans are to give you hope. Scripture in Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick.
But in Jeremiah 29:11 in the New International Reader's Version, it says, I know the plans I have for you, announces the Lord. I want you to enjoy success. I do not plan to harm you. I will give you hope for the years to come.
The scripture isn't just saying that we have the hope of a sweet by and by.
That's right.
Even though we do, it's saying that we have the hope for the years to come.
Yes.
Now. That's why John 10:10 in the New Living Translation says that he has come that we might have a rich and prosperous life.
Amen.
But you see, the King James says that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. Key word is might.
Mm-hmm.
Because you choose whether or not you're going
to
have it.
It's
a choice
we
make.
Apply the word or not.
By applying the word of God.
That's it.
Hope is kind of a healing balm that makes everything all right.
Well, it gives you hope. I didn't know how to say it in another way.
It takes away the pain of loss.
Yeah.
And
to know that something better could come.
So that we can anticipate better days ahead.
That's it. Amen. Romans 5:5 in the Classic Amplified Bible. Such hope never disappoints or deludes or shames us. For God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. Praise God for the Holy Spirit.
We focus on Him, He'll give us hope.
That's it.
We spend time praising Him, He'll give us hope.
Spend time in His presence,
He'll give us hope. Time quoting the Word, confessing the Word.
That's it.
He gives us
hope.
That's it. Number eight, God wants you to enjoy success.
Amen.
He wants us to be successful in everything our hands find to do. Barely getting by or giving up, frankly, are offensive sentiments to God, because that's not what His desire is for us. Because He gives us the formula to be successful, to never give up. Lots of scriptures talk about never give up. And
that's it. Jeremiah 29:11. This in the new, we just read the New International Reader's Version. But with those thoughts in mind, think of this, because He says, I know I have the plans I have for you, announces the Lord. I want you to enjoy success, not just be successful, enjoy success. I do not plan to harm you. I will give you hope for the years to come.
Enjoying success, too, is there are people who are just ignore family and everything else to be successful.
Yeah, in the world
system. In the world system.
There's a difference between success in the world and success, you know, in the Lord.
Their success comes at the expense of their family.
Right, or
that's
other
not,
things.
That's not it. Because the scripture says enjoy success. And if because of what you've done, your children are, you know, in rebellion
wayward,
then that's not enjoying success. If you don't have a relationship with your spouse.
Or you happen to take, you know, drugs to get you up in the morning or put you to sleep at night or, you know, keep you going. That is not prospering and being successful.
And while that may be a temporary fix.
Yes.
For what a situation you may need.
Yeah.
The point is, the real answer, the real solution is found in the Word of God.
That's it.
And see, not only does God want us to succeed, He wants our family to succeed as well.
That's right.
He does.
Amen. To 1,000 generations.
That's true.
That's the way His covenant says. In Exodus 20:6 in the Classic Amplified, it says, But showing mercy and steadfast love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commands. And in Psalm 105:8 in the Classic Amplified, it says, He is earnestly mindful of His covenant, and forever it is imprinted on His heart, the word which He commanded and established to 1,000 generations. Hallelujah.
Deuteronomy 5:10. And then chapter 7:9, Deuteronomy 5:10 and 7:9, and 1 Chronicles 16:15 also confirm the 1,000 generations reference.
All right.
We encourage you to look those up and to meditate on how much God loves you and your family. Let me give them to you again. Deuteronomy 5:10, Deuteronomy 7:9, and 1 Chronicles 16:15.
That's probably on the outline. In 2 Samuel 23:5 in the New Living Translation says, Is it not my family God has chosen? Yes, He made an everlasting covenant with me. His agreement is arranged and guaranteed in every detail. He will ensure my safety and success. You know, we are children of Abraham, and so we inherited everything that Abraham, you know, inherited. Hallelujah. But He wants us to be successful. That's the point. God wants us to be successful. And, you know, being in the Word is what
regardless
makes
of our circumstances.
Exactly. Makes us successful.
Problems.
In 1 Chronicles 22:13 in the New Living, it says, For you will be successful if you carefully obey the decrees and regulations that the Lord gave to Israel, well, through Moses. Obviously, we have the New Testament. But it's saying about being strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or lose heart. We live out the Word. We take the Word and apply it to our lives. Meaning we have something that we have to do, which is apply God's Word.
That's exactly right. And to be, you know, include our family.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if this is a I got to watch time, a rabbit trail or not. But I think in terms of considering family, that joke you told me about the Amish man riding a buggy, horse and
with
buggy.
With his grandson.
With his grandson. Tell that. I'll tie it in. You tell it.
Well, he had the whip and he had the horse fly was going to land on his horse. So we went and just zapped him. And his grandson went, wow, that is really amazing. And another horse fly came up and he popped it again and zapped him. And he goes, gosh, granddaddy, you know, this is awesome. And then a wasp came and landed up on the horse and nothing happened. And he goes, granddaddy, aren't you going to get him? And he goes, no, he has relatives nearby.
I like that.
Sometimes smart to be smart.
I know. It's not enough just for us to get it. We need to make sure that our family gets it as well.
Yeah.
We really do.
Because they all stick up for one another.
Yep.
This.
We tell our children, you'll have friends come and go, but the bottom line is family's always there.
Yeah.
Always there. Sometimes you'd like to have a word with them.
Well, it is a matter of sticking together.
It is.
Jeremiah 29:11 in the New Century Version says, I say this because I know what I am planning for you, says the Lord. I have good plans for you, not plans to hurt you. I will give you hope and a good future.
Point is, to be honest with you, I've seen your future. And it looks great.
There you go.
I'm not a psychic or a prophet.
Don't have to be.
I'm just a man who believes the Word of God.
Amen.
And everything it says.
Psalm 37.
Remember the prophet from Brazil that came with a church that we were at? And he said,
oh, yes.
I've seen my future and I've decided to live there.
Yes.
That's a great line.
It is.
It really is.
I was actually thinking of that too. Psalm 37:37 in the New Living Translation says, look at those who are honest and good, for a wonderful future awaits those who love peace.
Yeah.
And then
you can get ready to shout.
There you go.
Hallelujah. Glory.
Amen.
Shonda.
1 Timothy 6:18-19, New Living Translation. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always ready to share with others. By doing this, they will be storing up their treasures as a good foundation for the future so that they may experience true life.
I love it in the Message Bible.
Yeah, that gets down to it. Go
1 Timothy 6:18-19, Message Bible.
Message.
Tell them to go after God, who piles on all the riches we could ever manage, to do good, to be rich in helping others, to be extravagantly generous. If they do that, they'll build a treasury that will last, gaining life that is truly life.
Mm.
That's a great scripture.
It is.
It really is. Well, in fact, the benefit of Jeremiah 29:11 is found right there in 1 Timothy 6:18-19. And again, that's something to shout about.
Hallelujah.
When you consider Jeremiah 29:11 and these 9 points we've talked about, and one of the reasons we do outlines is so that you can do it. We decided years ago, we like it, you know, it's kind of like when I go preach at a church. You know, I take my iPad and I take my Dakes Bible. And when I started to preach, I said, I just want to prove to y'all, I have a Bible. I got a big preacher Bible. And I got it, and it's right here, if that makes you feel better. But I'm going to be teaching from the iPad because I got dozens of translations.
Right.
And that's where I go with it.
Well, but it gives you a different depth and dimension sometimes.
It does. Jeremiah 29:11, you would do well, everybody, even us, to meditate on this scripture and these 9 points this week. What I was going to say was, we do the outlines because I don't want people having to spend time turning pages.
Right.
I want them to be able to see it. When we first started doing it, we just put the book, the chapter, and the verse, the address. Then it's like the Lord said to me, 90% of them never going to look it up. So that's why we started printing it out. so that you got it, you can read it and get it. And that's what we want. And we really need to get Jeremiah 29:11.
That's why we, now listen, you think we read a lot of translations. There's a whole lot more, but we didn't read all of them.
Yeah, it's
so
fine.
We could be here till midnight. No, really, but anyway, we read
cookies.
Several. We do?
We got cookies.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, tomorrow's Judy's birthday.
Praise the Lord and hallelujah. Okay,
you don't know Judy, you know, in Nigeria or
Brazil
or England or Canada or Japan, other places where you're watching. You don't know Judy, but we do. In fact, you can live 60 minutes from here. You can live 10 miles from here and don't know Judy. But we do. And God knows her.
Amen.
And he's thinking about
her. And he knows y'all.
Yeah, he does.
And he's thinking about you.
We're blessed that our friends Dave and
Diane
drove down from Raleigh.
Yay.
To be with us here tonight. We're blessed that you tuned in.
Amen.
And if you've been blessed by the teaching, take your mouse, go to the top where it says sow a seed. Just ask God what seed to have you put in the ground. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. I have always refused to spend time to build an offering. I'm going to teach the word and then tell you to ask God and do what he says.
Amen.
That's who we are, right?
Pretty much that's it.
I like being close to you. Join us tomorrow morning and every morning for Rich Sauce for Breakfast. Tomorrow you're going to like it. It's really good.
You're going to like every day. It's always good.
You do. Anyhow, 8:30 a.m. tomorrow morning. And until then, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.